We're going to be talking today about God's vision. Kim asked me if I had a vision, and I said yes. Well, I would like to talk about God's vision. And I think that sometimes we forget that God has a vision, that He actually has a direction that He's going. As I've heard so long, and I've been walking in this way for a little while, and some of the times I even heard God. It was really amazing. There's other times when I was just a puppy that, boy, I just had all sorts of neat ideas of where I wanted to go and what I wanted to do and what I wanted to say and all sorts of stuff. It's just like the time that I had all these really neat sermon notes prepared. You know, I mean, lots of them. It was great. And God said, I want you to take all those and throw those away. Now, how many of you know when that happens, if you're a preacher, you kind of go, I rebuke you, devil. You know, it's like, wait a minute. We got to talk about this, Lord. Come on. What's this all about? Well, what He was shooting for is that I would become dependent on Him. Don't you know that was scary? I remember one of the times that stands out in my memory is Pauline and I and our youngest, I think it must have been Joy and maybe Steve at that time. We were going to this place. I'd been praying for probably 2 or 3 weeks for a message for these people. Nothing. Because I believe that we need to be those that speak what God's saying at that moment for that time. Strange thing, you know. But on the way there, I looked at my daughter and I just felt prompted. I said, why don't you pray for Daddy? Because Daddy's going to need some help. So she put her hand on my shoulder and she said, it's going to be all right, Daddy. She said, the Lord will help you. And she prayed. Well, I had nothing. This was scary. So I walk in, still nothing. I'm smiling. You know, How you doing? I'm scared to death. Because I'm still just a puppy, you know. And I'm walking in. We're so glad you're here. You know, praise God. I'm going, yeah, I wish I was someplace else. I know none of you have ever done that, but I was scared. I didn't know what was going to happen. Nothing. Sat down, went through the song service. Nothing. I'm sitting there. Now I'm perspiring. My hands are getting clammy. Nothing. Walk up to the pulpit. Nothing. Grab a hold of the pulpit. Knees just shaking like this. Still nothing. And I couldn't figure it out. And all of a sudden I started to cry. And I realized what would happen is that God wanted to speak to those people. And He said, I am crying over you people because of what's happening here. It was a prophetic word that God had, and I had no idea about it. If I had prepared my way and just kept my little notes, they wouldn't have understood that there needed to be repentance in that church because there was something really bad going on that I had no idea about. And when I addressed it, God broke through there. It was amazing, see? Isn't that amazing? God can even use a little backwoods boy like me. It's really, that means He can use you. Awesome stuff, isn't it neat? God's good. We're going to talk about God's vision. We know, and I tell you, I've only got 14 pages. We'll never get through it all. But I cheated on you because I copied all the scriptures right down here. And that's how I do my notes, by the way. If anybody ever wants to know, I just write down the scripture because God's already laid something on my heart for those scriptures. In Romans 15:4, you don't need to turn there right now, but we understand that in earlier times, the things that happened in the earlier times were all written for our instruction, for our benefit. We understand that out of the scriptures. Isn't that correct? 1 Corinthians 10:11 says, now these things happened to them as an example, and they were written for our instruction upon whom the ends of the ages have come. Everything that happened to the children of Israel, everything that we look at and read in the Old Testament happens so that we could be instructed. It's for us to learn from. All right? Romans 9:6. But it is not as though the word of God has failed, for they are not all Israel who are descended from Israel. Nor are they all children because they are Abraham's descendants. But through Isaac your descendants will be named, quoting out of the Old Testament. That is, it is not the children of flesh who are children of God, but the children of promise are regarded as descendants. So we, as the children of promise, through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, are the children of promise. We're them. It's us. In Ephesians, we're going to move on pretty quickly through this, but in Ephesians 2:12, remember that you were at that time separate from Christ, excluded from the commonwealth of Israel. We're no longer excluded now. And strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were formerly far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. We are no longer excluded from that covenant people. We've been brought into that. What does all that have to do with where we're going? I want you to understand as that we're looking at scriptures from the Old Testament concerning Israel, concerning Jerusalem, concerning the people of God, that they apply to us. They're us. We-ins. It's not good English. Don't ever use that. Okay? But it's good sense. It's us. Genesis. And we're going to go through Genesis through Revelations. So, Genesis chapter 1. Real familiar for all of us. Verse 26. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the sky, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." Number one, God made man in His image. If we skip over to chapter 3, is the heat putting anybody to sleep yet? In verse 8, it says, "They heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden." Now, I have a question for you, and I do expect an answer. What was God's reason for this creation? Do you think God had a plan? See, I get to talk and drink water, and you got to sit there and watch me, and you're probably going to get thirsty, right? Does God have a plan? This is not rocket science, guys. Yeah, hey, who said the yeah? Thank you very much, appreciate it. God has a plan. God has a plan. Do you think that God had a purpose in His creation? Where was He going with this? The reason that I threw in chapter 3, verse 8, is because He walked with Adam in the cool of the day. He spent time with His creation. This person that He desired fellowship with, He walked with, talked with, they communed. I believe, personally, as I look through Genesis, that we can begin to see that God actually had a vision. That He was going somewhere with this. When He created man, He made him in His image, that He was going somewhere with that. To have people to fellowship with, people that would worship Him, people that would stand and that He could walk with in the cool of the day. Isn't that neat? God has a plan. God has a vision. Now, I'm doing all this and I'm talking about this because I believe as we go through here, we're going to see that not only does God have a vision, but our vision needs to coincide with His vision. We need to understand where God's going and then go there. Sound fair enough? We've talked briefly, and I'm going to get off because I'm trying to bring a lot of things together. We talked briefly here a couple weeks ago about apostolic, prophetic, evangelistic, and teachers and pastors, about the fivefold ministry, or fourfold, however you want to do it. What's their purpose? Today, I've listened to people who say that they are, or ministries that claim to be apostolic and prophetic and that sort of thing. And they say, you need to do it this way. And I said, well, that's interesting. They say, if you do it this way, and you always do it this way, you're going to do it this way over here, and you're going to do it this way over here, and do it that way there. True apostolic and prophetic ministries, which are foundation layers, will do this. They will align themselves with what God is saying in an area and enable that to come forth, not their personal vision. There's a big difference. Not their personal vision. Not your vision, not my vision, but what's His vision? Where's God going in keeping with His Word? The same thing, something that God does here may not be what He's going to be doing across the street or the next town over. We don't transplant methods. We allow God to bring forth His design and His purposes. And it's always in keeping with His overall vision. So His desire is to walk with a people, I believe, on an ongoing basis, a people of His creation, a people of with a heart towards Him. Okay? That's part of His vision. Genesis chapter 5, verse 5. Let's just turn there real quick, I guess. And this is one of those that's a little bit of an aside, but I just thought it was so good I'd share it with you. It said in chapter 5, verse 5, and we're going to skip through some of these. It says, all the days that Adam lived were 930 years, verse 6. And Seth lived 105 years, in verse 9. Enosh lived 90 years and became the father of Kenan. I'm going through there pretty quick, aren't I? Verse 12, and Kenan lived 70 years. And verse 15, and Mahalalel, I hope I got that right, lived 65 years and became the father of Jared. And Jared lived 162 years. And Enoch walked with God. Folks, this is what we're talking about. You have all those that lived. This one lived, and this one lived. And yes, Enoch lived, but Enoch walked with God. And then he was no longer around because God took him. That's what God was looking for. That's part of what God's looking for is in His people, is people that walk with Him, whose focus is on Him. And I don't care where you work. I don't care what you do for a living. I don't care what where you live, on which side of the tracks. I've lived on the other side of the tracks. Sometimes I think I was born on the other side of the tracks. I was telling somebody, I remember eating beans when that was all you had. I remember in our married time when my wife prayed for a bread box to keep the bugs out. And God not only gave her a bread box, but He gave her something to eat in it. It was pretty good. I was ready. So it doesn't matter about all of that. What God's looking for is people that walk with Him. That's the issue. Walking with God. You can walk with Him at work. You can walk with Him at home. That's the part that He's looking for. He had a vision for people that walk with Him. I think He amened it in Enoch. He walked in the cool of the day with Adam, and Adam kind of blew it. And we're all a recipient of that. Remember that part? I don't know. That's in the Bible. You remember that part? Remember that? Do you remember? I don't know. Hey, don't bug me, man. I'm just relaxing. In Ephesians, having to do with walking with God, it says, so this I say, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17, so this I say and affirm together with the Lord, that you walk no longer just as the Gentiles also walk in the futility of their mind, being darkened in their understanding, excluded from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the hardness of their heart. An exhortation to us. I'll leave it. And they, having become callous, have given themselves over to sensuality for the practice of every kind of impurity, with greediness. But you did not learn Christ in this way. If indeed you have heard Him and have been taught in Him, just as truth is in Jesus, that in reference to your former manner of life, you lay aside the old self, which is being corrupted in accordance with the lusts of deceit, and that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and put on the new self, which in the likeness of God. Interesting. Statement, isn't it? In light of Genesis, which in the likeness of God has been created in righteousness and holiness of the truth. That they would choose that phraseology there, in His image. In His image. We were created in His image, and in the likeness of God, we were again created in righteousness. That's God's goal. We understand that. That's part of God's vision. Genesis chapter 12. Verse 1. Now the Lord said to Abram, here's God choosing a people for Himself. God is choosing a people, and He says to Abram, go forth from your country. And He sends Abram out, and in chapter 17, it says, no longer shall your name be Abram, but your name shall be Abraham, for I will make you the father of a multitude of nations. This people is all family. It's all family. Right? It's all family. I will make you exceedingly fruitful. I will make nations of you, and kings will come forth from you. And we find again when he changed the name of Jacob to Israel, that he follows suit with that. And I'd like to read this to you. He says, I am God Almighty. Be fruitful and multiply. A nation and a company of nations shall come from you, and kings shall come forth from you. The land which I gave to Abraham and Isaac I will give to you, and I will give the land to your descendants after you. Now, who's the promise? Who's the children of the covenant of the promises? Who are? In Abraham's seed? Shall all of us be blessed? And who are the ones that we were talking about earlier that we're learning the lessons from and that we are what? I'm confusing you, okay? Go back just a little bit here. Nor are all the children because they are Abraham's descendants, but through Isaac your descendants will be named. That is, it is not the children of the flesh who are the children of God, but the children of promise are regarded as descendants. Who are the children of promise? We are. You are. You are. I don't care. Listen, you know, I grew up, literally, I grew up thinking that I was stupid. Because I'd been told that I was stupid so long that I believed it. I don't care what you've been told about yourself. You're a child of promise by faith in Christ. And the promises of God are yea and amen in Him, and they're yours. And you can believe what I'm telling you. That no matter what's happened to you in your past, that no matter what's shaken and baked around you all your life, that God, through Christ, has made you a child of promise. But that's our hope. That's our hope. Therefore, when you understand that as we're dealing with this whole picture of Israel through the Old Testament, I want you to understand that these promises are ours in Exodus. What happened? Did God keep His kids when they went to Egypt? Just say yes. Yes. See, I don't ask really tough ones. Yes, He did. He kept His kids there. Have you any of you ever felt like you were in Egypt? Just a couple times? I had somebody tell me once, I said, you're going through the desert. And I said, yeah, tell me something new. In Exodus chapter 3, the Lord said, verse 7, the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people who were in Egypt, and have given heed to their cry because of their taskmasters. For I am aware of their sufferings. So I have come down to deliver them from the power of the Egyptians, and to bring them up from that land to a good and spacious land, to a land flowing with milk and honey, to the place of the Canaanite and the Hittite and the Amorite and the Perizzite and all those otherites. Now behold, the cry of the sons of Israel has come to me. Furthermore, I have seen the oppression with which the Egyptians are oppressing them. Therefore, come now, and I will send you to Pharaoh so that you may bring my people, the sons of Israel, out of Egypt. Do you understand that part of what God is doing in His part of His vision is to bring you out of Egypt, out of sin, out of darkness, out of bondage? That's part of the promise of God's vision. God has a vision. He wants to bring us out of a life that's being controlled by the enemy into a life where God can move in our lives and set us free and bring peace and joy as part of the way that we walk on an everyday basis. How many of you, ever worry? Once. You started that. You've had it. Does it ever change anything? No. Does it make you miserable? Yeah. Is it fun? No. Now, wait a minute. There are times when it's a blast, right? It's like, don't mess with me. I'm really having a good pity party here. I am worried. Don't mess with me, right? It doesn't change anything. God wants to bring you out of that. God wants for you to bring you into a wide place where you understand that, hey, God is in control. I'm going to confess that there's been times when I've worried. There's been times when I've been depressed. Is that God's plan? Is that His vision for me? No. Was I living below what He desired? You don't have to say it quite that loud. Everybody will hear you, see? Everybody goes, oh, sure, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, thanks a lot, guys. Yeah, exactly. That's exactly right. Living below what God has for me. Living in Egypt when I could be standing in the promised land. Good grief, Gertie. Come on. Let's understand that that's part of God's vision. That's part of His vision for us, is for you to be at peace. Isn't that wonderful? And that He's going to bring out His people. Exodus chapter 8. Now this is a really good verse. Exodus chapter 8, verse 22. But on that day, I will set apart the land of Goshen, where my people are living, so that no swarms of insects will be there, in order that you may know that I, the Lord, am in the midst of the land. I will put a division between my people and your people, the people of Egypt. Tomorrow, this sign will occur. When all the plagues came on Egypt because of their domineering Israel, God put a distinction between His people and the people of Egypt, didn't He? Do you understand that when God pours out judgment on a people, that if you're in Christ, He's made a distinction and it can't come near your house? Do you understand that? That's Bible, people. That's Bible. God has brought us out of that land. God has sealed us with the Holy Spirit of promise. God has birthed us into a new kingdom. God has seated us at the right hand of the Father in Jesus. God has brought us out and made a distinction between us and where He will judge. That's Bible. Is that your inheritance as a child of the promise? How about it, Rudy? Amen. Amen. That'll preach, won't it, bro? Absolutely. Absolutely. God's desire is for you to live in the fullness of His vision. He has a vision for us as a people. He has a vision for you as an individual, for you and your family. A distinction has been made. And God chose to do that. Exodus chapter 19. Moses went up to God and the Lord called to him. This is verse 3 and following. Called to him from the mountain saying, thus you shall say to the house of Jacob and tell the sons of Israel. You yourselves have seen what I did to the Egyptians and how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Folks, there was a time in my life when I went through a horrendous time. Some of you know what it was because I've shared it with you, but I'm not going to take time to do it all right now. But I went through a very, very, very difficult time. The only thing that I knew for sure was that I was still saved. I wasn't even sure how God had kept me, but I knew that I was still saved. I used to cry myself to work and cry myself home. Very difficult. I mean, if you look at me, and I don't really cry a lot. I never have. But that was a difficult time in my life. But I can testify to you that He bore me up and brought me through. Not by my strength, not by my incredible intellect. You've been around me long enough to know that I don't even have that. So, it was God that bore me up. It was God that brought me through. He brought you to myself, He says. I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Part of His vision. Now then, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, then you shall be my own. I love this. This is part of God's vision. This is part of where God's going as He's bringing forth the people. He says, then you shall be my own possession among all the peoples. Folks, we're special. We're God's own possession. We're His. You know, when I was a kid, I don't recommend this for, I don't even should tell it with these young men back here, but you know, you could mess with me, but you couldn't mess with my brother. You know what I mean? You could mess with me, and I would tolerate it, but you better not lay your hands on my brother. You know what my dad was like? You could mess with him, but you're not going to touch his family. You will not touch his family. Do you understand? God's like that. That's what God's like. He said, "Oh, wait a minute." He says, all these things will be forgiven you except for the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. And then he talks about people that start touching in a different place, the apple of his eye. He says, what is God saying? He's saying, don't mess with my kids. Don't you mess with my kids. They're my kids. Don't you go messing with my youngins. That's God. That's part of God's vision. Though we're His possession. We're His. He brought us to Himself. Now then, if indeed, let's see, then you shall be my own possession among all the peoples, for all the earth is mine. I love this. You'll remember this out of the New Testament. And you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words you shall speak to the sons of Israel. What an incredible encouragement. I want you to hear that this morning. A kingdom of priests. It's amazing. It's great. Fantastic. He chose us. You're going to hear me say this again and again and again and again until we get it. And that is this. The only difference between my sister over here and you and me is, and I'm just going to, just you and me. The only difference is my function is different than your function in the body of Christ. That's it. I function differently. I'm a preacher. That's what I am. You're not a preacher. That's fine. Guys, I put my pants on one leg at a time. That's the way it is. Just plain vanilla. That's the way it is. My brother here asked me the other day, he says, what do you want us to call you? And I was like, well, my name's Mike. That's good. Mike's good. I'll do Mike. Yeah, that's fine. I'm Mike. My mama and my daddy named me Mike. I function as a pastor. That's not my title. So what I'm trying to say is this. Be encouraged that we are a kingdom of priests. You are. I am. You are. You. We're a kingdom of priests. And each one of us has full access before the throne of God. What do you think about God's vision? Isn't that dynamite? That's dynamite. He rent the veil so that you could have access. You don't have to come to me. You don't have to go to anybody. You just go to God. You can walk in the fullness of God's provision for you, Rudy. Isn't that neat? It's good stuff. That's God's vision. God has a vision. I told you we were going to go through Genesis to Revelations. Deuteronomy chapter 7. Every once in a while, if somebody wants to say, "Amen, preacher," I'll live with that. Well, I'll tell you, you probably get me for another hour or two if you do. No, I'm just kidding. But if you'll say that every once in a while, it'll help me out. Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 7. Sorry. See you later. They had something to do, I know, but it was just so funny. So, Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 7. "The Lord did not set His love on you, nor choose you, because you were more in number than any of the peoples. For you were the fewest of all peoples. But because the Lord loved you and kept the oath which He swore to your forefathers, the Lord brought you out by a mighty hand and redeemed you from the house of slavery, from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Know therefore," verse 9, "know therefore that the Lord your God, He is God, the faithful God, who keeps His covenant and His faith and His loving kindness to 1,000 generations with those who love Him and keep His commandments." He's a covenant-keeping God. What He said He's going to do, He's going to do, and you're in that. What do you think, Dick? Isn't that great? You're in that. He will keep, He will not violate His covenant with you. He will not do it. He will not violate it. Some of you that are praying for lost, anybody here praying for lost loved ones? Have any of them ever made a commitment to the Lord in the past? Some of them have. Do you know that the Scripture says that God's married to the backslider? Did you know that? You know what that tells me? That tells me that God's going to dog their tracks because He's a covenant-keeping God. God's going to go after them. I tell you what, they can't get away. I don't care what they try to do. He's going to go after them. He will not turn them loose. He will not turn His back on them. He's going to make life miserable. He's going to go after them and go after them and go after them until they give up. So trust God and don't accept the enemy's lies to you that he's just not going to do it. Because God is faithful. God is faithful. Glory to God. I like that. I'm sorry. Okay, Deuteronomy chapter 6. "He brought us out from there in order to bring us in, to give us the land which He had sworn to our fathers." Folks, He brought us out to bring us in. He didn't just bring us out to leave us. He didn't birth us so that we could die. Although, I got to admit, there's been a couple occasions when I thought that's exactly what He had done. I said, "Lord, what did You do? Bring me out here? Now You're going to kill me? Oh, I don't know if I can handle this." Now, see, none of you have ever felt that way, but I felt that way a couple times. But no, He brought us out to bring us in. It's like the disciples when Jesus said, He said, "Look, guys," He said, "take that boat and go to the other side." Now, you've heard this. He said, "Go to the other side." They're out there thinking, "We're going to drown." No, because He said, "Go to the other side." He didn't say, "Go out in the middle and sink." Folks, He's told you He's going to take you out and bring you in. Trust Him for that. Don't let the enemy take advantage of you. In Judges chapter 3, you know, we'll find in the book of Judges, for God raised up deliverers for the children of Israel. It says, when the sons of Israel cried to the Lord raised up a deliverer. Well, He raised up deliverers throughout the book of Judges, and we could go into all that, but we won't. Aren't you glad? 1 Samuel chapter 12. "For the Lord will not abandon His people on account of His great name, because the Lord has been pleased to make you a people for Himself." Again, I want to tell you that it's not because you're so pretty that God loves you. Because if that was the case, I wouldn't have a chance. It's not because, and you said you were ugly first, let's say. It's not because you're so ugly or pretty that God loves you. It's because He chose you. He picked you. For His name's sake, He chose us, Walter. 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 22. Covering a lot of scriptures today. You keeping up? 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 22. For this reason, you are great, O Lord God, for there is none like you, and there is no God beside you, according to all that we have heard with our ears. And what one nation on the earth is like your people Israel? Who's that? Who are we talking about here? Us. Us, right? I lost my place here. One nation on the earth is like your people Israel, when God, whom God went to redeem for Himself as a people and make a name for Himself. Now listen to that. When God chose us, in us, He's going to make a name for Himself. Isn't that interesting? What do you think about that? That's pretty cool. I think that's cool because that means that His reputation's at stake. Isn't that what that means? Does that mean that? That His reputation's at stake. He chose a people that were not a people. People that made all sorts of mistakes. People that sometimes fell into sin and had to get back up and be forgiven. Anybody else had that problem? Say yes. Yes. Yeah. See? Thank you. A little bit of honesty here. Yeah. But He's going to take us through to make a name for Himself, to do a great thing for you and awesome things for your land. Before your people whom you have redeemed for yourself from Egypt, from nations and their gods. For you have established for yourself your people Israel as your own people forever. And you, O Lord, have become their God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. As for me and my house, He's my God. He's my God. Oh, I don't know what you're doing over there, but He's my God. He is. He chose me. I remember when I first got saved, and I use these personal illustrations, I hope you don't mind, but when I first got saved, I honestly thought, I got salvation. I got a relationship with Jesus, with the Father. The Holy Spirit now indwells me. I pray and He answers my prayers. Sometimes no. He never leaves me nor forsakes me. And He got me. Who got the short end of that stick? I really thought that. God did. What's not to like? You get all of that in heaven too. And He got you, Walter. I mean, come on, folks. Do you know Walter? Not. And receives you with all that He is. That's the beauty of what we have in Christ. I love it. Are you okay? You don't mind if I pick on you every once in a while? Just good thing. Good thing. I mean, you're right there, you know. It's your fault, you know. Next, in the back. Okay. All right, 1 Kings 8. No, you're not going to move. You have to sit up here no matter where they move. 1 Kings 8, 56. Blessed be the Lord who has given rest to His people Israel according to all that He promised. Not one word has failed of all His good promise which He promised through His Moses, His servant. Not one word that He's promised you will ever fail. Not one. Not one word that God has promised, even those words that He's spoken to you guys prophetically. He's able to do it. He's able to bring it to pass because He's God. Who's the only one that can bail out on that? Okay, just wanted to double check. Yeah, you can back up on what God said He would do for you. But will He fail? No chance. No chance. No word of His will ever fail. 2 Kings 19. For I will defend this city to save it for my own sake and for my servant David. And we've kind of touched on that. And because he saved it for his own sake, I want to read something out of Ezekiel chapter 9. You can see with all the scriptures that I put together this morning, I had to write them down, or else I'd be thumbing through. See, you can't even keep up, right? So that's okay. Ezekiel chapter 9, verse 9. For we are slaves, yet in our bondage, our God has not forsaken us. Folks, isn't that wonderful? The scriptures tell us in the New Testament, it says, you know, He'll never leave us nor forsake us. But even in the midst, when we're bound up, when we're inundated with everything around us, God won't forsake us. He won't bail out on us. I like that. Now, say amen. Thank you. A little louder. Amen. Thank you. There we go. Thank you, Walter. Is he a good sport or what? Yeah, sure he is. Nobody said yeah. I'm sorry. No, that's not true. Okay, Isaiah 14:27. For the Lord of hosts has planned, and who can frustrate it? Interesting in light of that prophetic word this morning, and that somebody over here picked up on part of that. That God, what God plans, He's going to do. God's going to do it. God will do it. Who can frustrate it? Is this part of God's vision? Is it? Yeah, thank you. Isaiah 43, verse 15. I am the Lord, your Holy One, the Creator of Israel, your King. Thus says the Lord, who makes a way through the sea and a path through the mighty waters, who brings forth the chariot. Let me skip down to verse 21. Verse 21, chapter 43. The people whom I formed for myself will declare my praise. Let's go back to Genesis. Let's talk about walking in the cool of the day. Let's talk about walking with God. Let's talk about a people that He has brought out and brought to Himself, His very own. That people, those people of the promises, will declare His praise. We need to be a people of praise. That's what He's after. That's where He's taking us. That's God's vision. He brought us out to bring us in, and we're going to be a people of praise. I love to praise God. Isaiah 51. Talking of Israel, he says, and her desert like the garden of the Lord, joy and gladness will be found in her, thanksgiving and the sound of melody because of the presence of God. In Isaiah 52, it says, verse 3, it says, for you were sold for nothing, and you will be redeemed without money. He did that, didn't he? Who's known the Lord in here for over 20 years? Over 30 years? Over 40 years? Over 50 years. Come on. Over 50 years? Really? Yeah, right. Over 55. You guys are not old enough for this. Over 60. You're still not old enough for this. Come on. How long have you known the Lord?
Since I was an infant.
Is that right? I'm going to tell you something. Children can come to know Jesus at a very early age. My wife was saved when she was 4 or 5. And it's a long story, but believe it, even though I met the Lord officially and on ship in 1967, I had made a commitment to the Lord, something that because of somebody really got on my case about it, I turned God off at that time as well. I not only met him, but I turned him off in the same hour because of something that happened to him to me when I was about 5 years old. How do I know that God will pursue you and pursue you and pursue you? Because he did it for me. He did it for me. Okay, Jeremiah 31. Well, actually, chapter 13, verse 11. For as the waistband clings to the waist of a man, so I made the whole household of Israel and the whole household of Judah cling to me, declares the Lord, that they might be for me a people for renown, for praise, and for glory. I'm going to tell you, I've told this to Kim because she asked me, and I may have related it a little bit here, but you, talking about a vision, that's my vision for the body of Christ. That is right there. That they might be for me a people. My people. People by my name. Sealed by my spirit. For renown. For praise. And for glory. The people that God will raise up in these last days are going to be a people who move in the character and in the glory of the Lord Jesus. They will be a people who will not be defeated by anything that the adversary throws at them. They will stand and they will not be moved. They will be shaken, but they will not fall. They will stand. That people, I have seen that people by the eyes of faith. I have seen that people, and I believe that in my lifetime, I will participate in that group of people. You want to come? Buckle up. Buckle up. Because it's going to be a trip. All hell's going to break loose on the earth, but the body of Christ shall arise, I believe. And I'm not talking about that they're going to dominate the world. I'm not talking about some kind of weird thing. I'm talking about the body of Christ arising to stand in the strength of the Almighty God and in the character of the Lord Jesus. They will not be moved. They will not be moved by winds of doctrine. They will not be moved because their focus will be on the Lord Jesus Christ. Totally. I could get off on that, but I won't. Jeremiah 31, behold, the days are coming. Does God have a vision? Absolutely. Are we part of that vision? I hope so. Behold, days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Not like the covenant which I made with their fathers in the day I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, my covenant which they broke, although I was a husband to them, declares the Lord. But this is the covenant which I will make with the house of Israel after those days. Who are we talking about here? Us. Declares the Lord. I will put my law within them. Sound familiar? And on their heart I will write it. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. They will not teach again each man his neighbor and each man his brother, saying, know the Lord. For they will all know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them, declares the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity and their sin. I will remember no more. They will all know me. Link that up for me, just in your heart and in your mind, with that we're all a kingdom of priests unto God. They will all know me. All of them. It may function differently, but we all know Him. He is our Heavenly Father. He is the Lord Jesus, our Savior. He is our Lord and Savior. We will all know Him. That will be the mark of those people I was just talking about. They will all know Him. How many of you know that when you know that you know, and you know that you know that you know, that you can't be moved from what you know? Did you know that? It's true. When you know that you know, and you know that you know that you know, in your knower, when you know in your knower, you can't be moved. Well, that's the kind of people that God's going to have in these last days. They're going to know in their knower. And they will be focused on Him, the person of Jesus, and they will march and not be moved. That's the people that the gates of hell will not prevail against, because it will just walk right through them. Why do we get defeated so much now? We talked about it a little earlier. Sometimes we worry. Sometimes we fret. Sometimes we walk in unbelief. Nobody in this church, it's the other church down the street, I'm sure. It must have been. No, it's us. It's us. They will all know the Lord. And speaking of Jerusalem, in chapter 33, same book, it will be to my name, it will be to me a name of joy, praise, and glory before all the nations of the earth, which will hear of all the good things that I do for them, and they will fear and tremble because of all the good and all the peace that I make for it. That's what's going to be the testimony of this church that arises, folks. It will arise, and God's going to so bless it, they're going to be afraid of it. That's where the persecution comes. Isn't that what happened to the children of Israel? They're in Egypt, and God starts blessing them. So, whoa, wait a minute now. These people are getting pretty strong. We better look out. We better do something else. Well, do I want to go there? I'm not going to. I'm going to finish up. God has a vision. It includes us as a believer. You can choose to be a part of that vision through faith in Christ and order your life in that way. Or you can choose to walk a different way. I mean, that's your choice. But He has a vision. You see, God had a vision, and I will have to read another scripture. Romans 8:29, familiar to all of us. For those whom He foreknew, He also predestined to become conformed to the image of His Son, so that He would be the firstborn among many brethren. And those whom He predestined, He also called. And these whom He called, He also justified. And these whom He justified, He also glorified. God had a vision. We actually may pursue, go on with this next week. We'll see. But God had a vision. For Himself, He wanted a people. He wanted a family like the firstborn Son. Folks, that's us that believe. A family like Him. A family obedient. A family Spirit-led. A family that only did what they saw the Father doing. A family like the Lord Jesus Christ. That was God's vision. He desired, in Genesis chapter 1, He desired a people that were like Himself. He created them in His image and they fell. He walked with them before that in the cool of the day. He spent time with them. He loved, can you imagine what that was like? Just walking with God. I mean, they were hanging out. It was cool. They were just hanging out together. I mean, God was excited about being there. I mean, can you imagine? Adam is sleeping and God's going, wake up. Come on. Just waiting for Him to wake up so He could walk with Him. Spend time with Him. Isn't that neat? That's the kind of God that we serve. And because of Jesus, because we've been adopted into that family, that's God's heart. That's God's vision, is to have a family like the firstborn. A family created are newly created. Old things have become new. Does that sound like Scripture to you? Newly created to walk with Him in the cool of the day as His child. Did God have a vision? Yes, and it never changed. It didn't change from Genesis all the way to Revelations. It didn't change. That's God the Father's vision. Is to have a family just like His Son, created in His image, His very own. Isn't that wonderful? Anybody here perfected yet? No. But does God have a vision for you in your life? Yeah. Is it for more than where you're walking now? Yeah. Yeah, it is. It is for me too, Walter. He knows me well enough already. It is for me. Let's understand that God's vision hasn't changed and that our lives are to be adjusted to His vision, and that as children of God, He desires us to be like the Son and to walk with Him in the cool of the day. Whether that be morning, noon, or night for you, I don't really care. But find that place. Because we, even when you were not a people, when we weren't, He picked us. Amen?